I used to live next to a sweet elderly couple a few years back. One day, they asked me to house sit for them while they were on vacation. It was only for a week, and they also offered money, so I took the job. The first three nights went fine. On the fourth night, I had KFC while watching a football game in the living room. That's when my car alarm rang. I parked the car in the driveway, hence the loud sound came pretty clear. I quickly got up thinking someone was trying to steal my car. I rushed outside the house, but the streets were completely empty. All the houses were quiet. My car's taillights blinked twice as I double-locked the car. I was a little worried now. How am I going to sleep in peace tonight? But when 2 hours went by and nothing more happened, I decided to sleep on the couch. I muted the TV sound without turning it off. I don't know why, but I couldn't sleep in the dark. Half an hour went by and sleep has just fallen onto my eyes when... What's that sound? I rubbed my tired eyes and slowly lifted my head to look at the main door. The sound didn't happen for a few seconds, and then I heard someone's footsteps on the porch. What the hell? Is that a car thief? I kept staring at the main door, waiting for someone to knock, but everything was pin-drop silence. And just then, my eyes shifted to the window right beside the entrance, and I froze in shock. There was someone outside the window looking right at me. Had she been there this whole time watching me sleep? My hand shivered to see that face, but suddenly it moved away, and I could see it no more. I tiptoed to the main door, holding a flower vase in my hand, all I could find at that moment. I looked through the eye hole but saw no one. I remained awake the entire night. The next day, I called the elderly couple and told them about this issue. They immediately sent an electrician who installed a doorbell camera on their house. They told me if she comes back next time, I should call the cops. So on the fifth night, I finished dinner early. I dimmed all the lights to give off the impression that no one's home. And I waited. I waited for hours. I must have dozed off in the high back chair when I heard the main door rattle. I crawled on the floor like a four-legged animal and went close to the door. I turned on the screen, and there she was. Her face was badly battered this time. There were cuts on her nose and lips. Her left cheek was swollen. It appeared like she was homeless and disturbed. Her knuckles were bruised too, which signified she often got into fights. She held a bunch of keys in her hand. They were attached with a toy gun keychain, just like the one I found on the porch that morning. Holy Mother of God. This woman has been stalking this house for days. Wait a second. Does the elderly couple know about her? It did feel weird when they installed the doorbell camera right away. So many questions were going through my mind. Hence, I talked.
Excuse me?
She paused with a blank face, and then brought her face really close to the camera. Once she realized she had been recorded this whole time, her eyes burnt in anger. That's when the punching and kicking started. She grabbed the doorknob and started pulling it like a psycho.
Are you crazy? Stop! Stop it right now or I'm calling 911!
She stopped. She took a few steps back and couched on the porch. From the pocket of her tattered jacket, she took out something. It was a gutter mouse. The woman grabbed the mouse tightly and then took out a small piece of broken glass from her messy bun. She placed the mouse on the porch and started stabbing the mouse heinously. She was screaming and smiling at the same time, again and again. She stabbed the animal until it turned into a pulp of minced meat. And then, she started throwing those meat chunks all around the porch while whispering something. She was doing black magic. But why? Why did she choose this house? The cops came in 10 minutes. They arrested the woman from the back of the house. After doing her meat-splattering ritual, she was digging a hole at the back. The cops found a can of petrol and a lighter inside that hole. It was evident that she had been to the backyard before to hide the things she needed. Her plan was to set the house on fire, burning it to the ground. She was taken away and declared mentally ill. The woman didn't say a single word to the cops. It was clear that something had driven her to insanity. The elderly couple came back the next day and apologized to me for having to go through all this trouble. After paying me double the amount of money, they told me they were going to sell this house and leave the neighborhood. It all happened so quick that I got very suspicious. Months after the couple left, I attended the birthday party of one of my neighbor's 12-year-old daughters, and there I heard this rumor. The woman who came to the elderly couple's house that night used to work in the same office as them. She somehow started liking the husband, but he remained loyal to his wife. Being rejected by the man, the psycho woman stalked the couple, making their life a living hell. But she never harmed them physically, which is why they could never file any report against her. The crazy woman tried black magic and voodoo to make the husband fall out of love with his wife. When she learned the couple had left, she came back with a vendetta. But as I was there house-sitting for them, things got a little difficult for her. That night, all those killing mice and spraying it on the wind was her voodoo ritual to end my life. Just so she gets entry inside the house. I feel lucky that before she could actually set the house on fire, the cops got to her. And I'm happy that the elderly couple can live in peace now. The story you just saw is based on this footage. The homeowner woke up hearing sounds outside the house and checked the doorbell cam. There he saw this woman standing outside his house, trying to get in using lockpicking keys. The woman also threw rocks at his door. She kept trying to pick up the lock in the middle of the night. It was likely that the woman was under the influence of drugs. Multiple times she tried to insert keys onto the doorbell camera as well. After a few minutes, she leaves. The owner informed the cops, but they couldn't find the woman. No one knows who she was and why her face had those bruises. No doubt she wanted to break into the house.
I'm a college student, and any easy money opportunities are appreciated by me. I was off for the summer at home and looking for odd jobs. One day, I was surfing through Craigslist when I stumbled upon this advertisement. It was a wanted ad for a housekeeper. There wasn't much written, just that someone was needed on the weekends, and the pay was decent enough. On the bottom of the paper, there was a phone number. An old lady picked up and gave me her address to show up the next day. She lived in an old wooden house. The lady took me inside. She showed me the house. Her library was huge. Something about those books made me feel weird, but I couldn't tell why.
Those are my plant books. My garden is the only thing that keeps me busy.
After crossing this long, dark corridor, we arrived at the back of the house.
This is my garden, my life's work. It's beautiful, isn't it?
I nodded. It was beautiful. A garden filled with huge red roses. What was even more unique about them was their black stems. Generally, every plant has green stems and leaves, but these had black. I looked back at her. You did all this?
Yes, and it takes quite a bit of work to keep it. Come, let's go inside and I'll tell you more.
I studied her as she led me in. We sat down in the kitchen and she offered me a cup of coffee.
I wouldn't usually need someone to take care of my house of plants, but unfortunately, my brother has recently passed. I need a drive there to go to the funeral, and I need someone to watch the house. I'll be back by evening.
Mrs. Donovan told me everything that she expected to be done. She told me that if I was finished with my job, then I could do whatever I pleased as long as I stayed at the house. I got to work. I watered the plants, sprayed medicine on them, instructed by Mrs. Donovan. I was done within 2 hours. I still stayed in the garden, admiring the roses. I went closer to a big red rose and took a sniff. It smelled like it was supposed, but there was a metallic tinge with the smell. Also, the rose petals were way thicker than a normal rose. Just then, a crow flew over my head. I got a little startled and grabbed onto the rose. The red petals smashed inside my grip, but I felt weird. My hand felt slippery and sticky. I opened, and my palm was red. A red liquid was all over it, like I had killed someone. I went back to the house and started washing my hands in the kitchen sink. My mind was so confused. How come there's blood inside a flower? The liquid doesn't feel like anything other than blood. Suddenly, I heard a low moan from the basement. I wiped my hands and followed the stairs. There was a small room down the stairs, smaller than a basement. I looked around. The thing that caught my eye in the light of my phone was a large metal door. I pressed my ear against it and heard the faint moans again, except this time louder. A cold shock of fear rang through my body like an alarm. I wanted to leave, but my gut feeling said I shouldn't. I opened the metal door. A pink light leaked through the doorway. I quickly turned off my phone's flashlight. Why would an old woman set up lights like this in her basement? But once I paid attention to the other side of the room, I noticed something else. Cages. Rows of them along the floor, all old and rusted as the door I had come through. I stood still, and when I heard nothing, I turned my phone's light back on. Behind the bars of the cages, I could see eyes reflecting back at me. I stepped closer to one of the cages and shined my light within. Whatever was in there flocked like a trapped animal. I focused on it. It was a little boy, pinned in the corner of the cage, staring at me with wide, fearful eyes. Oh my God! I hurried to unlock the cage. There was a large, rusty padlock stopping me. Pulling out my pocket knife, I picked at the lock until it gave way. I swung the door open and motioned for him to come out. Come on, let's get you out of here. The boy remained motionless but spoke. His voice was weak and hoarse.
What if she sees us?
She won't. Come on. The boy pointed towards his legs, and a wave of nausea washed over me as I looked down. His legs were cut off from the knee. I started checking all the other cages, and I found three more kids. All of them had a body part missing. Just then, it hit me. Those books. I remember reading one word common in the titles of those books. Carnivore. They were all about carnivorous plants. Mrs. Donovan is feeding the plants children's meat? That's why the roses were so red and had blood on their stems. I turned back to the boy. What's your name?
Noah.
How long have you been kept here, Noah?
I don't know. She gave me some candies while I was playing in the park. And then I woke up here.
I dialed 911 and told them everything. I was about to take the kids upstairs when I heard a car horn outside. I rushed upstairs and Mrs. Donovan walked through the main door. She pulled a large suitcase behind her. I suppressed a shudder, thinking how easily a small kid could fit in there. She looked towards me and smiled.
So, how did everything go?
I put on the best fake smile I could manage. Everything's good. I got the plants watered and everything like you asked.
Oh, well, I appreciate the effort. Maybe I'll call you again later.
How was the funeral?
Fine. I just need some time to be alone for a while, you know. You called the cops on me?
I remained silent. The cops came in and justice was served. They found another little boy tied and put inside the suitcase. Luckily, he was unharmed. The other kids were sent to the hospital, and I had a chance to visit Noah in the hospital. Mrs. Donovan was shoved into a mental asylum for life. Her garden was torched down to ashes by the cops. Locals were horrified to find out about these cannibal plants raised by Mrs. Donovan. Who could have thought such a harmless old lady had a mask on? The fact that she chopped off these kids just so she could feed their flesh and blood to her monster plants makes me wake up. The middle of the night.
Have you ever walked around your home and gotten an odd feeling? Like there's someone else in your house, but you know you're alone. About an hour ago, this happened to me. I have been house-sitting for my mother all week as she's been on a cruise. Everything has gone smoothly up until today. Around 1 a.m., I woke up to the sound of static. The crinkling noise was quiet at first, but my eyes swung open as the sound got louder. I jumped off the couch to press the button on my TV. Once the horrible noise was gone, my mind finally finished calibrating. I looked at the couch as a feeling of confusion came over me. I didn't remember falling asleep on the couch. In fact, I could have sworn that I had fallen asleep in my bed. As a way to wake myself up further, I started to look around the living room. I have two couches, one next to the window, and one facing the TV against the wall. On the window couch, I noticed a folded up piece of paper. I walked over and unfolded it, spot the differences written out in chicken scratch. I smiled. I had completely forgotten that I gave a key to my girlfriend. I yelled out,
"All right, I'll play."
In the living room, I put down the piece of paper and scoped out the whole room. The first thing I noticed was that my computer had moved from the table next to the wall couch and onto the floor. The next difference I noticed was that my late grandmother's porcelain doll had moved from the shelf on the wall to the spot where my computer had been. I stared into its black eyes, which clashed with its jester outfit. I truly felt afraid, not just because those dolls are generally seen as creepy, but I actually feared for my well-being, even though I had no real reason to. The third difference I noticed was when my arm brushed against my shorts. When I sleep, I always keep my phone in my pocket, but it was gone. I looked all around the living room, but couldn't find it.
Okay, joke's over, babe.
I yelled out. I expected a response, but definitely not the one I got. After a few seconds of silence, the shower in my mom's bedroom turned on.
Okay, you got me. Camilla?
Still no response from my girlfriend. I walked to the shower. The steam has filled the small space. I could see a woman's silhouette sitting on the bathtub.
Babe, if you just wanted me to join you in the shower, you could have said that. Wasted so much time solving that stupid game.
But I thought you liked games,
she replied, though her voice sounded a little too nasally.
I like the games that big boys and girls play.
I started taking off my t-shirt. I agree it was too late, but my girlfriend's pretty hot, so I couldn't let the opportunity go by.
Wouldn't your mom mind?
Come on, this won't be the first time we do it here.
I took off my remaining clothes and moved the shower curtain. I froze. Camilla was lying in the tub. Her eyes were looking at the ceiling. Her face was red, like all the blood in her body ran to her cheeks. Her mouth was open, gasping for one last big breath. She was gone. Long gone from this world.
Ah!
I fell on the bathroom floor and I heard a laugh.
Done playing, Jack?
That's when I noticed. A cell phone balanced on the shoulder of my late girlfriend. It was on speaker. That's why her voice sounded so weird.
Did you kill my girlfriend? Well, I had no choice, you know. You know how loud she screams, right? What the frack? Who the hell are you? I must call the cops. Oh, stop it. Enough of this same old boring crap. The cops never come in time. Now, you do exactly as I say, or you'll rot in jail for the rest of your life.
My stomach dropped as I realized I will be the first suspect in my girlfriend's murder. I stood up and grabbed the cell phone.
What do you want? Just come back to the couch and go to sleep.
Damn. This guy is a freaking psycho. He's asking me to sleep knowing my girlfriend's dead body is in my mom's bathroom. But still, I had no choice. So, I went back to the living room. My eyes scanned the darkness of the house. I couldn't see anyone, but I definitely felt eyes on me once I sat down on the couch. Stomping footsteps started coming at me from the back. But before I could turn my head, someone put a handkerchief on my mouth. A strong smell hit my nostrils, and I fell asleep. When I woke up, my head was throbbing in pain. My mom was sitting beside me. Seeing me open my eyes, she called out,
Doctor, he's awake!
The nurses helped me get up on the bed.
Mom? What? Why am I in the hospital?
Oh, Jack. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry this happened to you.
My mom explained to me what happened in her sobbing voice. On the last night of house sitting, a man dressed in a hoodie entered the house from the back door. My mom installed a home security camera placed right over the television, which cleared out the static sound I heard. The man tiptoed in when he encountered my girlfriend coming down from the stairs in her bathrobe. Before she could scream, the man shut her up forever. He then dragged her lifeless body to the bathroom. All this happened while I slept on the couch, and I heard no single sound. The man then made me come back to the living room and knocked me out with a handkerchief dipped in some kind of chemical that made me pass out. He relaxed for 10 minutes after that. The camera showed him bringing an ice cream tub from the freezer and then eating it sitting right beside me on that very same couch. All the cash, jewelry, and expensive items were then taken. And just like that, he was gone. I don't think I'll ever be able to sleep peacefully at night. The man looked like a complete stranger to me, but the details he knew about me creeps me out to the core. The cops think he was probably planning the robbery for a long time, but Camilla's arrival wasn't planned. Yet I get shivers from how articulate and playful he was about the murder. It was as if this wasn't his first time.